Scripture reading will be from the book of Psalms 100, New King James Version. Psalms 100, New King James Version. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
As you can tell from our scripture reading and also from the title of the lesson this morning, I'd like us to talk about Thanksgiving. And of course, not the Thanksgiving holiday that we just celebrated, but just Thanksgiving to God, the act of giving thanks to God for what he has done for us. The Bible is very full of scriptures and passages like Psalm 100 that we just read that tell us that we need to give thanks to God, that we should approach him with thanksgiving. Remember verse 4 of that psalm says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. So whenever we come to worship God, it needs to be with an attitude of thanksgiving, thanks to him for what he has done for us. But there's more to it than that. Not only should we worship him with thanksgiving, but the Bible also admonishes us to approach him in our prayers with thanksgiving. Whenever we speak to God, we need to have an attitude of thanks, a giving of thanks to him for what he's done for us. Maybe one of the most well-known verses is Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, where Paul writes, be anxious in nothing, but in everything, where prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He said this is such an important part of our prayers. We need to give thanks to God in our prayers. You might also remember Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2, where Paul said this. He said, continue steadfastly in prayer, be watchful in it with thanksgiving. He says we need to make sure, we need to be very careful, we need to be watchful to make sure that we have thanksgiving in all of our approaches to God. We need to be grateful to him in everything that we do. Now, I've titled the lesson this morning, Why Thanksgiving? And that is to say, why is it so important? Why is it so important that when we approach God in prayer, why is it so important that when we approach him in worship that we need to have this attitude of thanksgiving? It almost seems like it should be one of the first and foremost things in our mind. Why is it so important that we have this attitude of thanksgiving when we approach God? Now, please don't get me wrong. I certainly do not mean to be questioning the biblical admonition. I'm not questioning the idea of thanksgiving to God. And as we go through the lesson this morning, as we look at the different scriptures that I have intended for us to look at, it will be very obvious that thanksgiving is so very important and it is so much due him. But I do believe that if we understand why that we are to show thanksgiving to God, if we understand why it is so important, not only to him, but also to us, not only will it make us more apt to show our thanksgiving to God, but also maybe it'll make us at least more mindful of the way in which we approach him. And with that being said, why thanksgiving? The most obvious answer to that, the most obvious answer to why that we need to be giving God thanksgiving is just for the fact, as we have sang, as we've talked about, as Brother Ratcliffe mentioned in his prayer, is the fact that we need to approach God with thanksgiving because everything that we have is from him. There's your obvious answer, right? So I'm putting on my Captain Obvious hat. And the answer is that we need to be thankful to God because everything that we have is from him. Nothing that is in existence was created without him. He makes the sun to rise on the good and the evil. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. Matthew 5:45. Every good and perfect gift is from him. And that he blesses all without partiality. James chapter 1 and verse number 17. He gives himself to all mankind. He himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. Acts 17 and verse number 25. And just three verses later in that same chapter, Paul says this. He says, in him, in God, we live and move and have our being. Acts 17 verse 28. You see, all of those things, and we could read hundreds of more verses that give us more than adequate reason for why we need to approach God in everything with thanksgiving. Because everything we have is from him, and without him, we would have nothing for which to be thankful. In fact, I guess it's even more obvious than that. Without him, we would not be. Perhaps that's why the psalmist wrote in Psalm 69 and verse number 30, he said, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. In Psalm 95 verse number 2, he said, let us come to his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Thanksgiving truly is due to God for what he has done for us. And I believe that the Bible teaches very clearly that thanksgiving is what naturally flows from the mouths and also from the hearts of those who recognize God's blessings. In other words, if we truly recognize what God has done for us, if we truly believe what the Bible says that God has done for us, is doing for us, and continues to do for us, we will naturally want to give, and we will give thanksgiving. Isaiah 51 in verse number 3 is one of those verses that teaches us that. Now, this is a verse speaking of the dwelling place of God's people. This is what will naturally happen in the dwelling place of God's people. It reads, joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Also, similarly in Jeremiah 30 and verse number 19, it says, out of them shall come songs of thanksgiving and the voices of those who celebrate. Again, I believe that thanksgiving is something that will naturally come from and be a necessary byproduct of the recognition of God's blessings. If we recognize what God has done for us, we will truly give him thanks. But I believe there's more to it than that. I just briefly a moment ago made reference to Acts chapter 17 and Paul's sermon on Mars Hill, and I invite you to turn there in your Bibles. If you would turn there to Acts chapter 17, I want us to look at that for a brief moment. I believe that there's more reason that we should be thankful to God. I believe there are many more reasons that we should be thankful to God and show our thanksgiving to God other than just the fact that he gave us everything. And I believe Acts 17 illustrates that point exactly. I want us to focus on verses 22 and following. Now, verse 22 we all know very well. Verse 22 is where Paul acknowledges the very religious, or I believe the King James says, the superstitious nature of the Athenians. You know, he had come into their city, verse 23, and he points out how that he had seen all their shrines, their dedications to all of their gods, the known gods they have, and of course, lest they accidentally leave one god out, for after all, they were equal opportunity idol worshipers. It says they even had a shrine to the unknown god there in verse 23, and he concludes that verse by saying, what therefore you worship as unknown, this or he I proclaim to you. But then look at verse 24. He said, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. So Paul again gives us that number one reason why we should be thankful to God, why we should show thanksgiving to God there in the end of verse number 25, because he gives us everything. Without him, we would be nothing, we would have nothing. But you know, there's something else in verse 25 that actually sticks out in my mind every single time I read this verse. Notice he says that God is not served by human hands as though he needed anything. I want us to focus on that. I want us to think about the implications of that short phrase that God is not served or worshipped by human hands as though he needed anything. You see, God doesn't need our worship. God does not need our thanksgiving. God does not need our prayers. God does not need us to recognize what he has done for us. And it could be pointed out that Paul maybe here is just differentiating the true God of heaven from the Greek and the Roman gods, who that according to their own mythology, they were given power by the worship and the prayers of their people. And he says the God of heaven is not like that. The God of heaven does not need your worship. The God of heaven does not need your prayers. The God of heaven does not need your thanksgiving, because he is the one who gives us all these things. So there's nothing that we can give to him that he in fact needs. He will not be diminished by, nor will he be made stronger by anything that we can give him or do not give him. He is the everlasting one. However, what I always think of, and this is, again, my warped little mind working here, whenever I read that verse and it says that God does not need our worship, God does not need our thanksgiving, the question that always comes to my mind is, well, why does he ask for it? Why does he command it in various scriptures, as like the ones we read earlier? Why does he command and demand that we give him thanksgiving, that we give him worship? If it's not for his benefit, whose benefit would it be for? And the answer that I've got to come up with, it's that I must conclude, is thanksgiving is not only for God to give him glory and to put us and make sure that we are in our proper place, but I also believe that thanksgiving is for us. Giving thanks to God, giving praise to God for what he has done for us, also has a benefit for us. And there are two of them this morning that I'd like us to consider. There are two things that I believe Thanksgiving does for us that I'd like us to consider. And the first one that I'd like us to consider is that Thanksgiving is directly related to spiritual maturity and faithfulness. In other words, if we seek to be spiritually mature, if we seek to be faithful, we need to look at the thanksgiving that we give God. We need to look at the credit, the glory, the honor that we give God. And if we seek to be spiritually strong, mature, and faithful, then we need to make sure we are giving God thanks. You might want to write down Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. If you're taking notes, write down those verses. I'd like to take the time to turn there, but we don't have the time this morning. In those verses, Paul says this. He says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith," that's maturity, "just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." See, notice the correlation there between being rooted up, built up, established in the faith, being strong, and abounding in thanksgiving. They seem to go hand in hand. Thanksgiving is a mark of and directly linked to our spiritual maturity. Maybe a more clear passage to look at is Romans chapter 1. If you would, go ahead and turn there to Romans chapter 1. Now, we're not going to read the entirety of this passage because we've actually studied it recently in more greater depth. Sorry, you English majors that just, yes, I did say more greater. Sorry. We recently studied that in more depth recently, so we will not be going into great depth with it today, but I want us to remember this passage. Romans chapter 1, verse 22, this is where it is mentioned that Paul is describing people who are wise in their own eyes. In other words, they thought greatly of themselves. They thought that they were wonderful, they were wise, they were wonderful people, but he says, "You are fools." Thinking themselves to be wise, they were as fools. And he says they were foolish, verse 23, because they worshiped the creation more than they worshiped the Creator. Verses 24 through 27 says they were drawn away by their own lusts, and they were living in their fleshly lusts and desires. In verses 29 through 31, he lists some of these things that they were doing. He says they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slander, hate of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Kids are probably listening at this point. Disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. It's a terrible list, friends. He gives us this terrible list of all these awful things, and you and I look at this list and say, never will I be on that list. Never will I have any of these things in my life. Never will I travel to the point in my faith or my faithlessness that I will get to be able to do one of these things. I will never be a part of that. Well, let's look again. Because remember where all this came from. Notice here what separates those of us who are faithful to God, which we hope and pray and we strive to be. Notice what separates us from these people on this list. Notice what the difference is between who these people are, what these people are, and what we hope and pray to be today as Christians. Was it, or is the difference that we are better than these people? Are we better than these people who are doing these terrible things in verses 29 through 31? Answer is absolutely not. We are not better. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse number 23, Paul goes on to say. Is it maybe that we just don't have the same fleshly lusts and desires as these people? You know, they were just consumed by different lusts and desires that we just today in the civilized world of 2019, that we just don't encounter. No, that's not the difference. Because there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13. In other words, we have the same lusts and desires that are plaguing us every single day that they did back then. So that's not the difference. Well, maybe these people just didn't know better. Maybe they did all these terrible things because they just didn't know better. Because after all, this is in the first century. They didn't have the wonderful word of God in a nice, genuine or not genuine, leather-bound Bible form that we have today. So maybe they just didn't know better. No, that's not the case at all. Because even at this point, we know that the grace of God that brings salvation had appeared to all men, Titus 2, verse number 11. And we also know that in this very same chapter, in verse number 20, Paul says that the evidence, the proof of God had been evident to all men since the creation of the world. So he says, these people are without excuse, and so are we. He says, you can know God. And in fact, verse 21, he says, these people knew God. So what was it that started these people down the wrong path? What was it that led them from faithfulness to faithlessness? What was it that separates them, or what is it that separates them from us? Look at verse 21. Verse 21 says, they did not honor him as God, and they were not thankful. You see, not being thankful, not having thanksgiving in our hearts, it is a slippery slope that will lead us only to destruction. I have to laugh every time I even use that phrase, slippery slope. It makes me think of a little green man with pointy ears from a certain sci-fi movie series that said, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger, and anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering, right? Remember that? Well, you know, the Bible teaches the same thing. I wonder where George Lucas got that. Did you know that the Bible teaches the same thing? There is a slippery slope that leads to destruction. Here in Romans chapter 1, it says that not being thankful leads to feeling self-sufficient. Self-sufficiency leads to godlessness, and godlessness leads to destruction, he says. He says we need to be thankful. It's not only important that we are thankful to acknowledge the truth and to give God glory for what he has done, but it is also important that we are thankful and that we have thanksgiving in our hearts for our own soul's sake. It is a mark of spiritual maturity, strength of faith, and thanksgiving is a safeguard against spiritual death. So if we are to grow in our faith, we need to grow in our thanksgiving. But then second, not only is thanksgiving a mark of maturity, strength of faith, and a safeguard against death, thanksgiving is also a way in which we are inwardly renewed. It is a way that we bring renewal to our lives every single day. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to focus on verses 14 and following. Now, verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 4, Paul, he's talking about the hope that we have in the resurrection of Jesus. And he says that knowing that Jesus rose from the dead, we also can know that we will rise to be with him, to be in his presence. But then notice verse 15. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 15, he says, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So here he mentions thanksgiving gives glory to God. But he also says that the spreading of the gospel, the extending of God's grace to more and more people, that brings more thanksgiving, and in turn, that brings more glory to God. But then look at verse 16. He begins the verse by saying, so, or because of this, he says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is renewed, or is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Now, I read through this several times, and I thought at great lengths about it. And I believe really here that Paul is showing us one of the great benefits to us of showing thanksgiving to God. He shows us here that thanksgiving is a product of someone who has been touched by and received the saving grace of God. As we are saved by the grace of God, and more people abound in the grace of God, it brings more thanksgiving to God. So it is a product of being saved by and touched by the grace of God. But notice in verses 16 through 18 that we just read, notice these verses we just read, he draws a direct correlation from those people like himself who are saved by and thankful to God and those who do not lose heart. Again, verse number 16, he says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. I'd like us to focus there for a moment. Now, don't get me wrong. Again, the first and foremost reason why that we should give thanks to God or show thanksgiving to God is because of the fact that he has given us everything that we have. If you have worldly goods and possessions that bring you joy, God is the one who blessed you with those things. He is the one who blessed you with the talents, the abilities, and the strengths that you have that allowed you to go to work and to gain these things. He has blessed you with the opportunity to work. If you have friends and family that bring you joy, God has blessed you with those. If you have opportunities in the world, if you have seen the greatness of creation, if you have the breath of life in your lungs, God has blessed you with those things, and those are more than reason enough to give thanksgiving to God. But if you want to know what thanksgiving does for you, if you want to know what your life would be like if you did not give thanks to God for these things, read these verses again. Read these verses again. If you want to know what your life would be like if you did not give thanks to God for these things and you did not recognize what God has done for you, read these verses again, but read them in the negative this time. Let's go back to verse 14. Let's read this in the negative. Now, of course, I'm changing the words here to put it in the exact opposite of what was said. If we put this in the exact opposite, it says that without knowing that God raised Jesus, and without knowing that we will be raised into his presence, grace will not be extended to more and more people. Thanksgiving to the glory of God will not be increased. Verse 16, we will lose heart. And our outer selves will be wasting away because the natural processes will continue, but also our inner selves will not have the renewal day by day, and the affliction that we feel now will be nothing in comparison to the condemnation for which we have to look forward to for eternity. You see what happens when you turn it around? It doesn't sound very good, my friends. I don't want to be any part of that. It shows us the terrible consequences of not having thanksgiving in our hearts and in our lives towards God. I truly believe that thanksgiving, that is being thankful to God and showing our thanks to God, is an integral part of our spiritual renewal. Showing thanksgiving to God is an extremely important part of what keeps us strong and keeps us faithful inside in spite of what is going on the outside. Thanksgiving and thankfulness renews us day by day, while an ungrateful spirit is wearing us to the bones. Because someone who believes that he or she is the source of his own blessings is not only delusional, but he will also never be able to stop working to obtain satisfaction through means that will never bring such to his life. In other words, he will never be satisfied. I remember as a child, one of my favorite stories that my parents would read to me is about a king. He had a great castle, but he looked at his castle one day and said, I'm not satisfied. And he decided to add on to that castle. And he still wasn't satisfied. And he added on again and again and again until he had covered his whole kingdom. And all the other kingdoms around him, including the all-important kingdom of Canalopia, was covered by this man's great and enormous castle. And guess what? Was he happy at the end of that after he built all that? No, he was not. He was never satisfied. And you know, friends, neither will we be if we seek satisfaction through our own hands, through our own means, and through our own ways. Satisfaction only comes through recognizing the blessings of God and thanking Him for it. It's very much like the story that Jesus told in Luke 12. Remember verses 16 through 21 about that rich man? He looked at himself, talked to himself quite often, and he said to himself, well, you know, I'm going to tear down my barns. I see all the things that I have made, I have done. I've got this and this. I'm going to tear mine down my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones and store up my grains and my goods, and I will eat, drink, and relax and be merry, he said. Remember what Jesus said to him after that? You fool. This night your soul is required of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be? And Jesus concluded that passage, that story in verse 21 of Luke 12 by saying, so is the one who lays treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You know, Jesus' original intent of telling that story, giving us that illustration, may have been otherwise, but I believe that story illustrates the point that I'm attempting feebly to make this morning. Feeling like we are the source of our own blessings, it will only lead to discontent and a self-centered life. It will keep us focused on the here and now rather than heaven. It will keep us focused on what we can and cannot do rather than focusing on what God can do. It will only bring us worry, doubt, and fear, while thanking God will bring us blessing, contentment, and peace. So friends, my admonition to all of us this morning, in the words of Revelation 7 and verse number 12, blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Let us enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Psalm 100 verse 4. Not only is thanksgiving a sign of our own faithfulness and will bring us an inner renewal day by day, but thanksgiving acknowledges and magnifies the name of the one who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. It is what is due him, and it is an honor and a blessing that we have with our mortal tongues to be able to glorify and give thanks to his holy name. This morning, if you're not a Christian and would like to become one, I know this lesson is not one that would teach you how to do so. But maybe, just maybe, we give you some reason why you should do so. Because God has blessed you greatly. He has blessed us all so very greatly. And the least that we can do after he has given us the life of his son is to give him our lives. And if you'd like to turn your life over to God this morning, we'd be glad to help you in doing so. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you're willing to confess that and turn away from your sin, you can be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Do that this morning. Or if you as a Christian, maybe you haven't been thankful. Maybe you haven't realized how important it is to be thankful and show your thanksgiving to God. Make that change this morning. And if we can help you with that or any other way, let us know as we together stand and sing.